Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes.
I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Mike Burke, the National Endowment of the Arts Chief Information Officer. Mike, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with some basics, the mission of the National Endowment of the Arts. I think a lot of people have that idea of what it is and what it does, but let's get the official word of what your guys' mission is.
Well, we're a grant-making agency like many others, and our focus, of course, is in the arts. We have a real focus on arts education, and our special programs, I guess we call them national initiatives, are really very fascinating to me because they cover so many different areas. One that I particularly like is a Shakespeare tour that we have that goes around to the high schools and gives kids an opportunity to see what real Shakespeare plays are like. They get to meet actors and things like that. So we try to really engage the public with the arts more through the grant-making process.
And obviously arts covers everything. It covers both song, paintings, plays, everything, or is it just focus on one type of arts?
No, there are quite a few disciplines that we cover and give out, as a matter of interest, national awards each year. The Jazz Masters Award is one that we've done for a long time. We give an Opera Honors Award, and we also have a National Heritage Award that we give out. So all of these, and then in I guess the large scheme of things, we give out a National Medal of Arts that goes to usually a lot of famous people that you've heard of over the years. So it's a program that covers every artistic discipline you can imagine. And we try to encourage growth and development in the various disciplines through the grant-making process.
And you're the CIO, obviously, of NEA. Now, as a CIO, how do you support that mission? Obviously, you mentioned grants, a big thing that NEA does. I'm sure that's a big part of your role, making sure those systems work.
Well, it is, and our primary role in IT is to enable the organization. There's more and more reliance on technology, and so we look at ways that we can bring new and improved technology to NEA and help make people's lives richer here in the organization and also to deliver more capability to the staff. So our whole focus is on whatever will improve the productivity of the organization and allow us to do grant making in a better way.
And obviously that also includes the back-end systems, make sure that the network is up to speed, you have plenty of storage, you have good connections, you have all those pieces that typically you think of a CIO, or are you focused in a different way?
It really runs the full spectrum of things. We have our first and primary concern is to have solid infrastructure. So it's secure, it's redundant. We have capability of backing up our systems and restoring to remote locations so that we always have service for the organization. It's also providing a good help desk experience for people so that they have what they need when they need it and that their systems are always working. So that's clearly one aspect of it. The other part is we do a lot as far as the grants community itself in terms of working with the grants executive board to help really improve the grant-making process government-wide. One of the things that we've been very involved in for a number of years now has been the evolution of grants.gov, which is a portal for applicants. So when folks are interested in obtaining grants from the federal government, no matter what the particular area it is, they're able to go to one place and find out what's out there, what's available in the way of grant-making opportunities, and then they go actually apply, and that information then comes to us electronically, and we process it here. That's done a lot for NEA over the years in terms of improving the whole process of handling applications, getting it done quicker, and it's also given us a good statistical base that we didn't have before because a lot of this stuff was handled manually in the past. So we've seen, in terms of services, a great deal of improvement in the whole process of grant making because of some of these things that are going on now.
I definitely want to get into the grant making aspects of it because I think it's a fascinating piece, and I've been following grants.gov for a while. But before we jump into that, because I think that's probably something we'll talk about when we talk about your priorities and other things, let's just talk about your office a little bit. How's it set up? How many federal employees do you have? How many contractors? Are you guys really just located in the Washington, D.C. area? Does that make your infrastructure centralized versus decentralized? And of course, everyone wants to know, what's your IT budget?
The organization itself is around 180 employees. 9 of them are federal employees that work in IT. We also have a contractor on staff, and that person helps us with development. This all kind of belies what IT is really doing because we have a number of things that I'll talk about later where we're outsourcing and using the cloud and some of the other capabilities that are out there now to improve operations that really has lowered the demands on our staff in that respect.
You said 9 do IT, you have a contractor that supports you, but is NEA all located in Washington, D.C., or is your infrastructure, do you have some people who work in the field and you have some mobile needs? Talk a little bit about the setup from that perspective.
We are all in one building. We maintain a backup site for all of our systems in Frederick, Maryland. So operationally, we have capability there as well. We have a lot of staff who travel, and so we have a great deal of need for supporting people that are mobile, that are on the road. We've explored different ways of dealing with their needs on the road. Some are international. It opens up a range of opportunities as far as IT is concerned to look for improvements. More recently, for our heavy travelers, people that have not liked carrying laptops with them and things like that, we've looked at netbook computing and what that can do and how we can provide that kind of support in an economical way to people that are out there on the road. But we are all in one location.
I know that makes it a lot easier on you from a support perspective. I got to ask you, you brought up mobile computing. Maybe we'll get to that a little bit later as well. But iPad, are you looking at that yet, or is it still not quite there yet for the federal government?
There are a lot of people on staff who would like us to look at it, I'm sure. The thing that we have to deal with, though, is our staff, because it's a small staff, our concentration has always been in Microsoft-based products, PCs as opposed to Macs, and so all of our expertise is down that one road. So if I were to switch now to a Mac architecture, I have a whole new set of skills, I have a whole new set of problems because I don't have folks that are trained in that direction. But there are a lot of people in the arts community that like Macs, and we do provide some of that support. It's just something that we can't wholesale move to because of our own limitations in terms of the staff size and the skill base we already have. And then also there's issues with security with Macs that haven't been fully resolved yet.
I think that's the big issue that you brought up, security, and it's the idea that it has not meet the NIST standards of FIPS 140-3, and I know there's a lot of vendors working on that, so maybe that's something that's coming in the future. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about some of the priorities and definitely talk about grants.gov. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Mike Burke, the CIO of the National Endowment for the Arts.
Data is exploding in growth, usage, and retention. Count on it, and count on Vion to manage your organization through that change. Vion's file service solutions allow you to manage all platforms with an integrated management approach. This enables you to consolidate, protect, search, and archive unstructured data. With powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion will help you regain control of your IT environment. To learn more about Vion's file services, visit Vion.com. That's Vion.com. When it comes to your company's disaster recovery, business continuity, and virtualization plans, ask the experts. Vion Corporation. With a 29-year track record in assured computing, Vion puts customer needs first as a hardware and systems integrator. With a team of dedicated engineers and powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion's customers know their data is protected, secure, and recoverable. Visit Vion.com to learn more about high-performance network-attached storage and content archiving. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Mike Burke, the CIO of the National Endowment for the Arts. Now, Mike, before break, we talked a lot about how you support the mission of the NEA. You also talked about the make of your office, and you brought up that the keyword there, grants.gov. Before we jump into that, let's talk about your priorities over the next 6 or 9 months. What are you looking to get done? What are you really focusing on?
One of the things that OMB has asked agencies to do, start consolidating systems. The first effort was grants.gov, and that's the application side of the business, but they've also looked at the back-end side, the systems that actually do internal grant support for the awards and those kinds of things. And they've created consortia to help consolidate systems across government. There are 26 grant-making agencies. There are 6 approved consortia right now, and a special group called the Strategic Partnership, of which NEA is part of. And so what we're doing, and our probably our number one priority, is to focus on consolidating and moving our grants management system to one that's shared among several organizations. The lead for this partnership is the National Endowment for the Humanities. They have a system that very much meets our needs, and so with minor modifications, we'll be transferring our data over to their system and then using that probably starting in the early part of next year. So that's our number one priority. The other is I have just a whole string of projects that my customers have come to me with that we're working on. One right now is particular interest called the GEO system, and this is looking at geographically dispersed all the work that we do that is related to performances and things like this, where where we have we touch a lot of communities, and we're trying to look at it in a visual way to see where performances take place, where the grants that we actually award are effective. And so it's looking at venues, and it's looking at locations, and trying to meld all this together in sort of a pictorial way. So that's the current two major projects we're working on.
Let's talk a little bit about that move to NEH system for grant making. Now, I have to be honest, 6 consortia, I always thought there was 3, so I have to go do some research and find who the other 3 are.
There are 3, I guess I should say it this way, there are 3 approved consortia, and then there are 3 other organizations that are approved to operate as they are, and one of those, for example, is NIH, the National Institutes for Health. They have the largest grant-making organization dollar-wise in the government, somewhere around $250 billion worth of grants that come out of their system. And so rather than pushing them into a consortium arrangement, they already had a well-operating system, and it seemed to make a good sense as far as keeping them focused on what they're doing and using the system that they have. So 3 actual consortia and then 3 other organizations that have been approved to operate as they are, and then the strategic partnership.
So you guys are moving your data to NEH, and then that will be your back-end system, with grants.gov being the front-end system. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So then what's the challenges of moving your data? I mean, is it already pretty interoperable? Is it pretty portable? Or do you have some data migration issues that you're working through?
We've actually successfully migrated about 90% of our data to their system. So the matchup there is pretty close. And the challenge now is to make sure that some of the things that we do are accomplished by their system. Unlike most of the grant-making organizations, we deal with work samples. And the work samples can be anything from a text file, like literature, a book or something would come in text, up through video, and with the other variations in between. So when you have that, you've got to have some accommodation for accepting the work samples electronically and those kinds of things, and then dealing with that kind of data. So there's some things that are unique to NEA that we'll need to make sure we cover in the transition to the new system. So while the data is there, it's changing the face of the system so it says NEA instead of NEH. It's changing the capability of the system so that it handles those special needs that we have.
Now, will your employees or the people applying for grants when they go through grants.gov, they'll see the regular grants.gov, but the back end. So I guess, will your employees see the NEH system, or will you kind of have a NEA skin so that they come to a site that looks like it's theirs, acts like it's theirs, but it's really the NEH site?
It will fully appear like it's NEA site. And so our employees will see that. The folks who are the applicants obviously see grants.gov. The folks who receive an award will use our website and use a program called My Grant at a Glance, which gives them details about their grant. And as they draw down payments and things like that, they'll be able to follow the accounting for their grant money and things like that. So they'll never have an experience with the internal back-end system. But as far as the employees are concerned, yeah, it's an NEA system.
The other thing that was always interesting when you hear about migrations like this, you hear about HR line of business and the FM line of business, is that most things that people do in a specific line of business are fairly similar. As you said, your data migration, about 90% done, wasn't too difficult. But they always talk about you need to also change your business processes to meet the system, as opposed to making the system meet your business processes. How are you balancing that? Because it's a tough balance.
It's interesting you should ask that, because that was one of the main concerns that we had in the whole grants management line of business move towards consolidating these systems. Actually, there were 2 rounds of consortia selection that the government went through. The first round, NEH had put their system out there as one that, they'd like people to be able to migrate to, and it was a good fit for a lot of small agencies, wasn't approved. And the second go-around, it was, and that's where this strategic partnership was formed. The strength of our argument there was how closely we are operationally to how NEH operates. And so for us, being able to move to their system as opposed to one at ACF or Education or one of the others, it gives us exactly what we need. With minor modifications, we've got NEA system. So it's better in that respect. And so having gone through this whole consortia selection process, we were very fortunate in being able to end up with a system that didn't require us to make a lot of business process changes.
Let me jump on another part of the grants making process. Grants.gov went through a pretty big change up over the last year. We saw when the Recovery Act came about, OMB put out a memo and actually said 10 agencies should stop using grants.gov. I thought it was a pretty significant change, and from an outsider's perspective, I think kind of odd. I'm not going to ask you to comment on that, but I will ask you, what are you seeing differences with grants.gov? Are you seeing a big change from your perspective?
If you look at grants.gov a couple of years ago, it was running all out. They had gotten a huge amount of business transferred in from all the agencies. They'd taken on a large workload. And the system that was, as it was designed, was really maxed out. And so when the Recovery Act came along, it was kind of a surprise to us that they said use grants.gov as the vehicle for this. And that really multiplied the volume by quite a bit. And so a number of agencies were allowed to step back from that and use their own systems for a period of time until grants.gov's technology caught up. It has now caught up, and they retooled the system to handle lots of volume, more than we had, and it's a much better system today than it was just a couple of years ago.
While we're on the idea of the Recovery Act, did that affect you guys at NEA much? Did you guys have a lot of money to put out, or was your grant making just basically has been fairly stable over the last few years?
Our budget in 2009 was $155 million. On top of that, we got another $50 million for the Recovery Act, so it was a huge increase dollar-wise for us to deal with. But I can tell you that when this first came out, the effort that NEA put into it was enormous in terms of the number of people involved and how quickly we were able to accomplish the movement of that money. So we'd gotten the awards in place and ready to go just in a matter of months, as opposed to some organizations taking a long time to even get started. So we're fully awarded as far as I know, and things are moving well.
Let me shift gears on your other priority now, the geosystem project. I think that's fascinating, the idea of kind of marrying geospatial data with what you guys are doing from a where you're, as you said, your grants are making an impact on the communities. What's the timeline around that? Is that something that's going to be public, or is that for an internal use only? And how are you putting it together? Is it using, like, you know, Google Earth or another one of those types of products?
The geosystem is a result of a request from the Research and Analysis Office here at NEA. And what they were really doing was modernizing a system that they had that collected some of this information related to the venues that we were servicing, the location of the venues, and that kind of thing. So the system as it stands is really designed to help us internally to develop better documents that, I mean, the output will be documents that show the public where we're granting, where our grants go, our grant money goes. It will show to what purpose it goes, and it'll do it in a geographic way so that, say, from Congress's standpoint, if they wanted to know, you know, what's going on in my district, we can show them that kind of information. So it really takes it down to the level of being by zip code, what's going on, how are we spending our money, and what benefit does it give the public.
And timeline, when should we look for this? A couple months, next year?
We're wrapping it up now. So probably as we get through testing, our goal was mid-June. It just depends on finalizing testing. But, yeah, we're pretty close.
All right, very good. That's an exciting project. I think that's kind of that idea of a mashup. So I know that's popular in that Web 2.0 world, which we're going to talk more about how you guys are using some of those other cutting-edge technologies. But first, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Mike Burke, the Chief Information Officer of the National Endowment for the Arts.
Data is exploding in growth, usage, and retention. Count on it, and count on Vion to manage your organization through that change. Vion's file service solutions allow you to manage all platforms with an integrated management approach. This enables you to consolidate, protect, search, and archive unstructured data. With powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion will help you regain control of your IT environment. To learn more about Vion's file services, visit Vion.com. That's Vion.com. When it comes to your company's disaster recovery, business continuity, and virtualization plans, ask the experts. Vion Corporation. With a 29-year track record in assured computing, Vion puts customer needs first as a hardware and systems integrator. With a team of dedicated engineers and powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion's customers know their data is protected, secure, and recoverable. Visit Vion.com to learn more about high-performance network-attached storage and content archiving. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Mike Burke, the National Endowment for the Arts Chief Information Officer. Now, Mike, before break, we talked a lot about grants and grants.gov and your backend system and your migration to the NEH grant system. But you also mentioned the Grants Executive Board. I wanted to catch up with you a little bit about that. You guys have a role in that. It's a small agency, which I think most grant-making agencies are fairly small. I mean, you get some of the big ones like HHS and NIH, but really most of the roles of small agencies are around provide grants to the public. And your position on the executive board, talk a little about how that works and what you guys are hoping to accomplish with the board.
This is something that's been in place now for probably 7 or 8 years. The initial focus of the board was grants.gov and migrating to the application portal. It's since picked up responsibility for the grants management line of business, which is the back end side of this. Within the last year or two, we started to meet jointly with the Grants Policy Committee because a lot of the folks that are on one group are on the other. And we're looking at how we might combine those two organizations. And so that's some discussion that's going on. The board, just to give you some perspective on this, grant making in the federal government is probably comparable to procurement in that we grant about $550 billion a year. There are 26 agencies that do this, and the largest being Health and Human Services, and when within Health and Human Services, NIH. But what you'll find is after you get past the top four or five, then many of the granting organizations are quite small, like NEA. Over the last few years, after you look past grants.gov, the whole business of migrating systems together and creating the consortia has created a lot of interest on the parts of the organizations involved to look at how we might further improve the whole grant-making process. And so our focus going forward is now how to blend the changes that have occurred in the systems with the actual functioning in the grants community and how we might improve that.
Let me jump to some of the buzzwords we hear a lot about in government: technology, cloud computing, Web 2.0, thin clients, other ones. What types of cutting edge or leading edge technologies is NEA really looking at?
Let me start with the less than cutting edge, because we tend not to be too far out there, only because we want an infrastructure that's reliable. We want programs that are very steady and reliable. So, and we don't really need cutting edge technology. What we have done is about 6 or 7 years ago moved to the finance system that's provided by the Federal Aviation Administration. It's Oracle Financials, but it's through their Enterprise Services Center. And we use that and have used it now for quite some time for our finance part of the business. And so that's basically, on this end, it's a thin client type of arrangement, and it's out over the internet to use their system. Just in the last year or so, we outsourced our email system, and to much the same effect, we're using just the front end here at NEA on our systems, with all the work being done over the internet through the company that we're using. Our plans for the future, as we migrate to the NEH grants management system, that comes back to more heavy-duty work on this end. And so it'll be marrying up the finance system with our grant system and making those kinds of interfaces work. That'll be the forthcoming challenge, I think.
You mentioned the email. I think there's a lot of agencies now really looking at that email to the cloud. And in many ways, you're using email as a managed service, but whatever term you use, that's what basically it is. You don't have to worry about all the storage and all the making sure there's patches and making sure it's the latest version. Does it work? Yes. Let's use it. Talk a little bit about that decision. Was that a difficult decision to make? Did it just make sense? Were you guys using something, an older system, and when you looked at the cost, you said, it just makes sense to outsource it or to go to the cloud or managed services or whatever we're going to call it?
Yeah, we used GroupWise before that and had used it for a number of years, and it was fine, except that what we really wanted to do was to provide our users with 24-hour service where they had access over the phone to someone all the time if they needed it to handle email problems. And given that people travel a lot, that's something that needed to be addressed. It was also useful that it was all internet-based, so wherever they are, they can log in and get their email, and that makes it easier, and that's especially for the folks that don't have the BlackBerries. But the whole idea of looking at it wasn't cost-based as much as it was service-based, although in the end, the cost end of it really worked out quite well.
You said it's been about a year. Do you have any estimates in terms of cost differential, cost avoidance, cost savings?
Well, I would guess it's a toss-up. Really? I mean, on this end, one of the things that's happened over time is with the demands that have come in from OMB and other organizations to do different things and to expand security and all these other things, it's placed a great demand on our workforce. And so to the extent that we can outsource certain activities, it gives me more manpower here to handle some of these other issues as they come along. Security has been one of the largest things that we've had to deal with because of all the requirements.
Let me jump forward to vendors. You talked about the fact that you have a vendor that works with you on staff. You talked about the email that's been outsourced. What should vendors know about working with NEA? You mentioned what is your IT budget? What are some of the, how do you like to be contacted? You know, vendors always like to tell you how great they are. So give them some idea of how you like to be approached.
The first thing is we're a small organization. So our IT budget is well under $3 million a year. And I think that, you know, if companies recognize that, they'll know that there's not a lot of money available to do some of the great and wonderful things that, that you see out there in the way of technology. We are always looking for new and improved ways of doing things. Our communications office has recently started working on, they use Twitter. We have a blog site up. There's some discussion about Facebook and other social networking capabilities. Those things will be coming, and we look forward to that. And so from our standpoint, being able to have outsourced some of the things that we have has freed up staff time to focus on how best to deliver those kinds of services. Some of it will be done internally. Some of it will be done externally.
Do you meet with vendors? Do you like to discuss whatever by email? What's your process?
Well, I probably get 100 emails a day, probably 20 or 30 phone calls a day. And so I can't answer all of those. You know, it's physically impossible to do that and do the other things that I do. So I do get a lot of requests, and I really just can't answer them. But I can say this, that when new things come along, when someone has something new and interesting to offer, and it matches our business model or where we're taking our business model, then it's something definitely we'll pursue.
All right, well, we're almost out of time. But before I let you go, I did want to talk about you for a little bit, your background. How long have you been CIO at the National Endowment for the Arts? Where else have you worked in or out of government? Give us a little perspective of your background.
Well, I've been in the government now for about 26 years. The first 13 of those years was at the Defense Logistics Agency. I ended as their deputy CIO. Spent a couple of years at the Census Bureau working the 2000 Census, responsible for IV&V for the 2000 Census, and then came here. So I've been here about 10 years. It's been a very interesting switch in careers because DOD, large, complex organization, very bureaucratic, NEA, much more flexible, and it's a joy to work here because you have the opportunity to shift and move as you need to accomplish the mission. So it's an agile organization compared to, you know, 200 people compared to 200,000 or 100,000 people. It's a huge difference, and it's a lot of fun working here because of that.
Usually there's a good story behind how someone gets into their job. How did you end up being at the NEA, especially coming from DLA and Census, two very large agencies?
Yeah, it's one of those things where you always keep an eye out on what's going on in the marketplace. And I was doing that. And when I was at Census, I was having a lot of fun with the IV&V part of this. And so I wasn't really anxious to move. But I saw NEA's job announced, didn't apply, and then I saw it reannounced, and I thought, well, you know, maybe it's just something I should do. So it's one of those things where it was a last-minute decision, and I thought, well, I'll put my name in for it. It would be a real interesting challenge to move, one, to the arts, because I had no real strong arts background, per se, and then, two, to move into an organization that was smaller and hopefully would offer a whole new set of challenges.
And here we are 10 years later, and all is well. I won't ask about the census and the 2010 census, but I will say thank you very much for joining us. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today was Mike Burke, the National Endowment for the Arts Chief Information Officer. Mike, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.